Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio Program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Yeah.
Okay. That's southern,
estoy bien.
Southern for Jeet, no Jew. And also John Paul.
Hello, hello.
Here we are. Oh my goodness. It's exciting to see what the Lord is doing. If you're wondering why my watch is not on, I think it's a confirmation. Hey. I think it's a confirmation that I need another watch. It's brand new though. I mean, it really is. I just got this watch. I'm not a watch shopper, you know what I'm saying? I don't have like a Saints Rolex or anything like that going on and stuff. But it just stopped. It just totally stopped. You know, and it's amazing when your watch stops. It's like, hey, I got plenty of time. It's still the same time it was one hour ago, you know. But you know, one of the tensions that we're going to be talking about, hopefully, in this first half hour is, you know, the big, if you heard the interview with Michael Padilla, which is Dimitri Dudeman's grandson, interpreter for the Word Over America, I asked him a question. He's bold. He has he's abides with God. But remember when I said, "Well, this is a question I could have for you then," and he's been cranking off. I mean, he's just living with God. Yeah. He can hear every word. And then I said, "I need to know. What do you think? This is the question. Are the Saints a good team or not?" No, he was in Romania. He's like Saints.
Saints.
The Saints are always a good team. But football, I don't know about football. Is that a soccer team? Anyway, so. I said, so are we a Daniel? No, I said, are we Jeremiah, describing what season we're in?
Sure.
Are we a Jeremiah? Are we a Josiah? Or are we a Daniel? Mm. And he goes, he paused. I mean, if you listen to the interview, you can see hear the interview on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And so that's when we go, okay, he paused. What's he going to say? And it's like, hopefully he's going to say Josiah. And then he evaluates everything, all the fruit of America and the darkness and things that are going on. And he says, Jeremiah. Mm. But he honestly said, that's a good question, which means he's doing his best to answer it. And of course, Jeremiah, we'll be talking about that. I want to talk about that first, you know, but it's a big difference because if we are Jeremiah, we got to be faithful to be Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. But if we're Josiah, because my watch stopping the day that we opened up in the what God said on a glory zone, if you would, and what he's going to begin to do. And that's Josiah. When God's plans stop, when God's plans for destruction, for captivity stops, that's a Josiah season. Mm-hmm. And of course, Daniel is like, grab a broom, do what Nebi says, right?
Right.
Nebi says work. I'll do anything but eat your food.
That's right.
That won't be hard for Pat. He doesn't eat anyway. Hopefully, you know, I know we're talking about maybe the fifth, sixth tactic today, you know, from...
I think the seventh.
It's the seventh. Wow. Well, that's so good because we're getting close to the number 13,
right,
which is pretty interesting because we're seeing it take place as we speak. But I also want to be able to mention, and hopefully, and this, and we try to tell you as much as possible because we want to have a light conversation, light meaning not light, L-I-T-E, but L-I-G-H-T, to shine on what's going on today. But this is what Jesus said. This is what God said, because Jesus said nothing unless he heard the Father say it or do it, and that's when he demonstrated it. And of course, he is God in the flesh and Emmanuel. And he said, you know, these things, they must come. They must come. But woe unto the ones through whom they come. Mm. And there's so many folks that just say, well, you know, this stuff had happened anyway. He said, yeah, but you're doing it.
That's right.
It's not going to be good for you. I don't care how many times you quote the name of Jesus. He just said, woe to you if it comes through you. So you don't want to be a part of Lucifer's work through you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to happen, but you don't want it to happen through you. And not only that, hopefully we get a chance to talk about that. It's a Christians right now that are being beat and dragged through the streets of Egypt.
Yeah.
Being beat and dragged through the streets of Egypt by, reportedly, the CBN News is reporting, by the Muslim Brotherhood. And they're digging Christians out of their grave.
Mm. Wow.
And we're the ones that empowered the Muslim Brotherhood there. And you can see the Egyptians walking on the streets of America going, why have you put this dictator over us, Morsi? Don't you understand? We've actually banned the Muslim Brotherhood. And you put them in power there. And, of course, we know that was Zelensky's tactics to polarize Egypt to fulfill whatever desire it was. But if you put, if you're partnering with Lucifer's techniques and tactics...
Don't be surprised, you know, Lucifer shows up.
I'm losing my political correctness over this matter. You know what I'm saying? That the more we're venturing, we're thinking like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And as an angel of light, as an angel of light. And then there are priests, because of the government shutdown, being barred from their chapels and then being told if you'll be arrested, they're reporting, you'll be arrested, CBN is reporting, if you baptize anybody. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what, this is really excites you. It's for one thing, it's like, oh, I'm getting it. Then to be on the side of light is the best side.
Yeah.
Because dark is panicking now. Mm-hmm. They're cranking up as much as they can. Secondly, is you thought water baptism was nothing? Well, those Lucifer's tips said arrest people who dunk people, you know,
yeah.
Or sprinkle or splash or whatever your doctrine is. Mm-hmm. Understanding that you thought, oh, what's the big deal about baptism? Well, you need to go back and be baptized in faith.
That's right.
Because that is a sign of you going down and being buried with Jesus and coming back up again. I mean, you can go to hell with baptism water on your face. That's not going to save you. But if you thought so little of it that you see what Lucifer thinks about it,
yeah,
he's going, I'll put you in jail if you baptize somebody. It's like, I work here, but this is not my faith. Is not in government. I'm a chaplain to be able to minister in Jesus' name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But put him in jail.
Wow.
And then so now we're seeing another perspective. You know, we're kind of covering a couple topics that we're going to cover today is 1 year ago, 1 year ago to about this time last year, they were threatening government shutdown.
Mm.
And you're going to hear from whitehouse.gov, you're going to hear the president talk about if they fail to fund Planned Parenthood, if they fail to fund Planned Parenthood, then I am going to shut down. The government's going to be shut down. If they don't, you know, and the issue was offerings to Moloch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
That was 1 year ago. And it's like, wow. We have such short-term memories. And so you're going to see firsthand from whitehouse.gov where he's talking to Planned Parenthood saying, you know, this Congress, by the way, when you hear Congress, they're talking about you.
Right. You, the people.
And even the congressmen don't even know that anymore. It doesn't seem the majority of them, because when they get up on, you see them on C-SPAN and all, they're talking about as their political parties or something.
Right.
It's like, you are, you know, you don't want to negotiate with this political party. It's like, dude, we didn't send you there as a political party. We sent you there as a representative of us, which is supposed to say, you're refusing to talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the semantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not you, bro.
Right.
Sir, ma'am. It's not. It really isn't. You're 532, 34 folks that we sent to represent us in a representative form of government. And please change your semantics. Let's just don't drive this thing into the ground here. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the American people when they say they don't want to talk to Congress because it's called representative government. Remember all the people that you went and saw and shook their hands with and that type of thing? And they asked you questions, and some you answered and some you didn't. Some you said, go to the website, all that kind of stuff. Those are folks making a decision whether they're going to get to represent you. Did you represent their values? So when you get there, don't dump them and jump on some party system. Remember their faces. They're the ones that sent you there.
That's right.
And word it semantically correct so that when the folks that really are struggling with taking any time to understand their country and their responsibility in this government by the people and for the people, you know, let them understand that they're being rejected.
Yeah.
When somebody says, I want to work around Congress, they're saying they want to work around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are listening right now in America. And when somebody says there's just, you know, a division between Congress and the White House or the White House and Congress, well, that's like, okay, that means one person's divided from the nation. That's what that means, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
Because there's 400 and some odd congressmen represented there for 601 congressmen, one House of Representatives for every 600 and
674,000.
For every 674,000 people in your state,
yeah,
you have sent one House of Representatives there to speak up for you. That's the one you have speaking up there. And by the way, senators used to be in our Constitution used to be selected by the House of Representatives, state House. So it was all about representing the state, and then they shut that amendment down. And now we're battling with something. The founding fathers made sure that wouldn't happen. So we need to kind of bring that one back up again because two folks from your state should not be holding, you know, 75 folks from your state that you sent to represent you hostage.
Right.
Oh, wow.
What anyone, has more anyone has more influence, it should be the House, not the Senate. Because they're the more direct, you know, voice of the people.
Right. Well, you think about it, and you read the Constitution, what a concept, that they are the third in line for presidency of the United States. If something tragically was to happen, like a president was to be sick or something was to go down, and like past presidents had a heart attack or whatever in office, and then the vice president would take over. But if something happened to the president and the vice president, it would be Speaker of the House because that's the best representation. So to ignore you, that's the reason why they're going to the House to find the third in line for presidency, is because that's the best number. That's the best person that the people of America would have selected, because your representatives that we sent from all around the United States, one for every 674,000 people in this United States, they will make a choice basically in who that president is going to be quickly. And if they, I guess they don't like the current Speaker of the House, they would just change it. Yeah. And but that's the third person in line. So for the executive branch to come against this huge representative branch who are equal and saying that, that they're just divided, and it's like, you're one, you know, and they're many. Damn. And not only that, they're fresh. They have a fresh ideas from their regions and stuff. So their value system, we need to listen to their value system.
Sure.
And what they're saying is, from what's being reported, is that we need to really rethink taking care of folks. We need to rethink that. But we don't need to put this, borrow more. We're borrowing 40 cents from every dollar now comes from, is borrowed. Every dollar we spend. And so they're wanting to raise the debt limit. And raise the debt limit means now we're going to borrow more than 40 cents on every dollar. It doesn't mean it's more than... You think, okay, we almost have 50% or plus people on entitlements, which means there's more people pulling the wagon, more people in the wagon than pulling it.
That's right.
Right? Can you imagine that?
Time for somebody to get off and help with this thing. You
know
what I
mean? And so this is a very important thing. So when we talked about this yesterday, but realize when the when that's taking place, understand that's your representatives that are doing that. Sad to say, they're talking about political parties and stuff instead of
you. So it's
you.
Not about the elephants or the donkeys. It's about the people, right?
It is about the people. And it makes me think, you know, with T.D. Jakes, at Potter's House, he was just talking about how we've got to begin to rethink our, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we've got to, we just become consumers.
Yeah.
And we're no longer producing things. Producing. And he's speaking to all the American folks, but all of us. And I want you to be able to see this right now. You're going to be able to see those that are watching us on WHBR. But also, I want you to be able to hear this as well. Here, bring that up so they can all see this. But this is T.D. Jakes speaking about the reality that we've become a consumer people. We've become a consumer-driven people that instead of producing, we just need to produce.
Yeah.
Let's listen up. Let's listen to T.D. Jakes. He's got so much wisdom.
Anytime you stop producing... and focus only on consuming.
That's right.
You have nothing to be proud of other than what you consume.
That's true. That's true.
If we were producing again, and historically this nation, not just African Americans, have been producers, and we were proud of our work, in the absence of any, we are not producing, we are consuming. And so the only thing we have left to be proud of is not what we made, not what we built, but what we bought. And we have to teach our children to produce again. And to your point about faith being a part of it, the very first thing that God says to Adam is be fruitful. Not be consumeful, be fruitful.
Right.
Okay? He said, I got the consuming cover. You can eat all of these trees. Be fruitful. Imitate the tree. Be fruitful. And I think that we, as a father, I had an obligation not to give my children everything they want and to demand that you be fruitful. You will work. You must do something. You can't sit around and wait on me to die to get an inheritance. You have to get a job. And those simple values that we used to have, we need them again. All Americans need them, but in particularly African Americans and minorities need them, because if you don't produce and you wait on somebody to hire you and give you a vision, you may not get there. Entrepreneurial pursuits, producing a product that we can, we don't make the stuff we use.
Right.
That's true of America in general, but African Americans specifically. We don't even sell, in many cases, the stuff we buy. And until we start taking over our communities and understanding our marketplace and get our lion's share of the marketplace, we will never get up. And the other thing, we have to stop hating each other who does get up.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Because then you put people in jeopardy. You're oppressed when you're down, and then when you get up, you're hated. Yeah, so there's no place out, which leads to the depression.
Right.
There is no place out. We're trapped by our own understanding of ourselves.
That's so wow. Very important. More on this when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a legal question for you. I'm a supervisor in a small office, and recently I had a new associate join my team who's very much into neo-paganism, and she displays books about witches and inverted pentagrams around her desk. I was wondering if she has just as much protection as I do, you know, if I have Christian material around my desk, is she legally protected to keep those on her desk, or can I ask her to remove those?
Nope, she has got the same rights of religious freedom and the free exercise of religion that you do, and that's the way that works. So this should encourage the Christian employee to continue to maintain an appropriate witness there at work without being disruptive to the work environment. But that's the way to handle a situation like that, not to censor all religions, but to allow an equal, what we would call a basically an equal access policy.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding, it's not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
she
my goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago. And as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York is being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are just kind of get a perspective. Right? We just heard T.D. Jakes with the Potter's House speak great wisdom. It's like, yeah, we've got to begin to produce again. We've got to begin to produce again. We just become consumers. And it's really fun, by the way, if you just start building something, start doing something, start, you know, creating something. Yeah. Your God has created you in the image and the likeness of himself, and he's a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to just create and design and build and take things to their next level, I mean, it just feels good. You know, I think it was Ecclesiastes that talks about that a man who works hard has a good night's sleep, And I miss the days when media would just shut down at 11 o'clock at night with a Pledge of Allegiance, right?
I know it.
Yeah, right. And it's just like nonstop. But speaking of that, here we're talking about government shutdown. And remember, we've been talking about the Alinsky tactics from Rules for Radicals, that these 13, we're realizing these tactics are being used. The president taught these tactics for 4 years. Hillary Clinton actually wrote a thesis on these tactics that's now sealed, to my knowledge, still. They won't let us see what she wrote, but we're actually probably seeing it in her fruit. And then he worked for, reportedly for, Saul Alinsky, who, by the way, wrote the book in 1971. And just so everybody would know, in the context of that, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968. So he had no say-so over this book. So nobody can say that he actually had anything to do with this book.
Or support it.
Yeah, it's like dedicated to Lucifer? I don't think so. Dr. King would not have anything to do with something like that. And we're going to show that in the future. So you understand that it's just, you know, don't let a crisis go to waste.
Sure.
You know, as was said in the White House in the very beginning. And so what you're seeing is we're being organized with the Alinsky tactics so that the conflict from polarize to organize.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick this target and then you start pushing, causing conflict. And then you unpolarize and you settle. Well, that's what happened 1 year ago. When our president was speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood, because Congress said we're not going to fund Planned Parenthood because they are aborting children, which we know, spiritually speaking, that that's offerings to Moloch, God hated the most, which seems to be really, I mean, it's amazing how the church picks out all these different sins, but in regards to killing children, it's like, hold on a seat. If I was going to go, okay. I think killing people's higher than anything else right here.
Murdering.
You know, we've got to stop innocent bloodshed. God, the reason why God was going to deal with and dealt with Israel is because of the innocent bloodshed, 55 plus million. So understand, 1 year ago, he was saying, I'm not going to sign the bill, which means the government shut down, same situation, over not funding abortions. Mm. Although he talked about the other things they did, statistically, it's a huge number of abortions that Planned Parenthood does, even to the point of doing them over Skype, where doctor Skypes in, push a button in a drawer. You can see it on the VFN torch. But let's listen to whitehouse.gov, President Barack Obama speaking to Planned Parenthood. And you can see everybody's watching us here on WHBR. I want to give a big shout out to WHBR. We're so glad to join you today and kind of keeping us up what's happening right now. Don't be so quick to be able to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Realize your representatives are representing you well. Let's listen to the president speak to Planned Parenthood about funding.
For you and for most Americans, protecting women's health is a mission that stands above politics. And yet over the past year, you've had to stand up to politicians who want to deny millions of women the care they rely on and inject themselves into decisions that are best made between a woman and her doctor. Let's be clear here. Women are not an interest group. They're mothers and daughters and sisters and wives. They're half of this country, and they're perfectly capable of making their own choices about their health. So we're grateful that through it all, you never forgot who you're fighting for. The woman with a new lease on life because a mammogram caught her cancer in time. The woman who can sleep easier at night because of a cervical cancer screening. The woman who was able to choose when to start a family because she could afford contraception. So when some professional politicians casually say that they'll get rid of Planned Parenthood, don't forget what they're really talking about. Eliminating the funding for preventive care that millions of women rely on and leaving them to fend for themselves. That's why last year, when Republicans in Congress threatened to shut down the government unless we stopped funding Planned Parenthood, I had a simple answer. No. But we know this debate is far from over. We must continue to send a message loud and clear. If you truly value families, you shouldn't play politics with a woman's health. That's why I know that Planned Parenthood will continue providing care no matter what. I know you'll never stop fighting to protect the health care and the choices that America's women deserve. And as long as I have the privilege of being your president, neither will I. Thanks.
Skype you.
Okay. Well, we're seeing where he's talking to Planned Parenthood in the context of saying, you know, we're not going to, and he's right in regards to making sure that women's health are taken care of. But the issue is they merge murder with women's health.
Right.
You know, it's like, of course, you know, and that's reframing the issue.
Who
doesn't want to take care of our daughters, our wives, our sisters? I mean, who doesn't? But the large percentage of the daughters and sons that are murdered in the womb that they do. That was the issue part. It wasn't that. And so they merged it and saw they would never say, they just said, you know, a woman has a right to choose in the context of that, and that she can plan. This is what Planned Parenthood means. Think about it, the whole name is Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
It means this is an unplanned pregnancy that I wouldn't want my daughter to suffer through. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is what quote, right? That was the quote of the president, something of that nature. I wouldn't want my daughter to, his life to be
changed, altered, something like that.
Yeah. Because she has, an unwanted pregnancy, an unplanned child, and which means to, take the child out.
Mm.
And so Planned Parenthood means, sorry, son, daughter, you know, we're going to take you out. Understand, the government was being threatened to be shut down, not going to sign the budget because of not putting their funding from your tax dollars to sacrifice children to Moloch. You can find out more about that on the VFN Torch and related links. You're listening to VFN Radio. We want to say hello again to all of our HBR viewers and listeners out there on the Gulf Coast. We're excited. Don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com and catch us 24/7. You can catch the rest of this program. Download our app. You can go to VFNTV.com, download our app, sign up for our newsletter. We got so many things to talk about. We were so encouraged being with you today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an iSomething or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. You know, we just finished talking about the abortions and what has happened and how the president a year ago today was actually supporting Planned Parenthood and the funding of a program that literally supports the murder of children, you know, and all in context of, you know, the threat of shutting down the government. When you look at how many children have been murdered since 1973, Roe versus Wade, what's exciting, you know, what just really gets you just infuriated over what has happened is that it's 138 children 138 children that have been murdered every single hour. 138. And two every single minute.
Wow.
That's devastating. That's devastating that those the blood has just been let out that way. Lord, we just continue to pray. Dear God, end abortion and send revival. My goodness. Well, you know, we were talking about T.D. Jakes and entrepreneurship and the ability to produce.
All right.
A lot of things going on here. And the ability to produce and not be consumers.
Right.
But you know, Pat, my two sons, they are producers. They started a business,
they
a cookie are. Business.
They are something else.
I tell you, and I'm greatly encouraged, you know. The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go and they shouldn't depart, but you impart to them wisdom and all type of different things. And my wife really encouraged them to start this business and get productive mm-hmm. out there. Because, you know, it's so important that they learn mm-hmm. very early that, you know, how all this economy works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just doesn't grow on trees. Not only that, but if you're going to have a fruitful and productive life, you got to get in the game. You got to touch something and mm-hmm. make something come to pass. Well, I have you know, they started this cookie business where they're... I was financing it, I guess, since they used our supplies. But now I jump started. I was a silent investor, I guess, a forced investor, since they just took my stuff.
But are you charging them interest?
Well, no interest, no interest, because they have a profit making business already. They are already in the profit.
They're in the black. That's
they're
good.
They're in the black, and they're buying their own supplies. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, they bake these cookies, they put them in these plastic bags, and what they do is they go to businesses. Mama drops them off, of course. They're 11 and 13. And then they walk.
So they're not just doing their neighborhood, they're doing business.
Oh, they ask mama to drive them down the road, and they'll stop at a business, and now they're doing the neighborhood.
Wow.
But this is what they did. They actually wrote a business plan. And I'm going to read you their business plan. Each one of them wrote a business plan.
How old are your boys?
One is 11 and one is 13.
Wow.
I didn't tell them to write this thing. He just wrote this. It was sitting on my desk. They wanted me to look at it. I said, mm-hmm. okay. I didn't know what it was. I was sitting there for a while. Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at it. One of them writes that they want to do a cookie survey. Cookie survey now. Questions to ask the customer. Do you like the cookies? What's your favorite flavor? Do any improvements need to be made? And would you like some more cookies? Now, these are his goals for the week. I'm telling you, you need a vision. You need a plan for your business now.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to make $12 a week, sell out at least once, put in my savings account at least half of what I get in the week, and try not to spend too much money.
That's a good plan.
He says buy ingredients for the cookies and try to have at least 5 people do surveys and try to sell at least twice a week. He further writes, make a relationship with the customers we sell with. How important is that if you're in business and you're producing, you want to make a relationship with those that you're doing businesses? He says, I want to have $100 saved in my bank account.
Oh, wow.
Now watch this. He says, real big on his plan, mm-hmm. tithe every week. It's part of his plan, tithe every week. And he writes, I want to honor Jesus in my business.
Wow.
I want to honor Jesus in my business. And he has a goal to save $350 for his iPad mini. And the bottom says here, Lord, bless me and my brother's business. So that's one brother there.
Oh, my goodness.
The other brother puts things to say to customers. Hello, would you like to buy some fresh baked cookies? They're $1 a package. Make sure to say thank you and have a nice day. This is elementary, but how many times have you been to a business and the person behind the check it doesn't even say hello?
They don't say
thank you. Plans with selling cookies, hair salons, and lists all the different places he wants to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says how to keep customers to know you. Get to know them and ask what their name is and tell them yours. Always have a big smile. These are all in caps, by the way. Some interesting misspelling words here, but maybe uh-huh. we'll make this available for you on the torch.
Dude, you need to frame that.
How to keep our business up. Listen to this now. This is from an 11-year-old, how to keep... You're getting strategies here on VFN Radio on how to be productive and keep your business up. He says, ask God to bless our business and tithe the money I get each week. He says, notes not to do. Don't eat profits, spelled P-R-O-P-H-I-T-S. Don't eat the profits.
Don't eat the profits.
I think the profits would appreciate that, that you don't eat them. Don't give the wrong change. Don't wear dirty clothes. These are boys. Don't be zombie. Don't be a zombie. Look alive. Be alive. Don't be rude. And don't be smart with customers. Have a big smile and be nice. I'm telling you that, listen, if 11 and 13-year-old boys can come together and put a business plan and be productive, they're making $12 and $13 each time they kind of go out. They've opened savings accounts. Listen, we can do that. We can do that. We can start making something and adding value. Because let me tell you, if we just all become consumers and just become a nation that's all about buying, what are we going to have?
That's right.
What are we going to have? So I want to encourage you, get involved in the game. Get involved in the game of life. Get involved in making something that's worthwhile and that produces and that lasts out, you know, beyond you. And teach it to your children. You know, the Bible says that if we don't work, we shouldn't eat. There are no entitlements, right? God has blessed us with the ability to be fruitful. He says, be fruitful and multiply. He's given us every single thing. He's blessed us, Ephesians says, in the spiritual realm with every spiritual blessing. And we have a God that we can speak to and pray to and abide with. And he loves to share and speak with us and gives us keys to the kingdom so that we can represent him here on the earth. And so why shouldn't you have that expectation to excel and do well, that God may be glorified in the earth? And when we start thinking from that perspective, you know, starting out with how not can I get a business so that I can be blessed, but how can I have a business that will bless the kingdom of God and advance the work of God?
Right.
I mean, those are the businesses that people want to get behind, you know. Believers, we should get behind all of those businesses. So I want to encourage you, tips and strategies to have kingdom business and be productive in your life is get in the game and get out there and do something. Get out there and do something. Well, you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, but there is a new Christian movie that's coming out. And you'll be surprised to know that it's coming out of the Gulf Coast. In fact, coming out of Pensacola.
Really?
Yes. Eric Hovind is working with a filmmaker who worked for major, major corporations. And they're coming out with this movie called Genesis 3D. We're going to try to make this available for you. It's never been done. I happened to meet with some of the folks down there and had a chance. They gave me a screening of the trailer. We actually have the trailer available. Also, The Blaze is talking about it as well. And what they're sharing is how they have these different benchmarks that they needed to raise. They needed to raise certain amounts of money to get it, you know, into certain development. And now they've exceeded that goal. I mean, believe that they raised $100,000 just in one shot there from a church in Texas.
Oh, wow.
When you see these graphics, I mean, it literally jumps out to you. And what they're doing is using the technology of the day, the narrative. Oftentimes we learn through stories, and they're putting the Genesis, the creation, to come against, you know, evolution and the lies that have not only been taught for years, but are now infiltrating our textbooks where children are being taught that, you know, that God didn't create the world. You know, they're not even trying to instill that in some of this their curriculum. There's a term for it. It's not creation science, but there is a term in which that it's labels and wrapped around the ability to teach that, listen, this is how God created the world and the earth. And this is phenomenal. I want to encourage you to go see it. It's Genesis 3D. It's not out yet.
When's it coming out?
Well, they haven't said, because right now that their next goal is to raise enough money to get it into the movie theaters. I mean, major folks are behind it. In fact, Ray Comfort has endorsed the movie. He's wrote the Evidence, you know, Bible and different other type of movies that he's produced. as well as the actor and the producer of Fireproof and Facing the Giants. He's 100% behind and speaks really favorable about this project. Wow. So those are, you know, really great movies have come out of both of those type of ministries. Mm. So we want to encourage you to go see it. Listen, it's God's truth. Mm-hmm. God's word. We want to get this out, that narrative out. So I want to encourage you with that. You know, I didn't get a chance to tell this to you guys, but a couple weeks ago, I was at the beach with my family. Mm-hmm. And
you have time to go to the beach?
Well, you know, it's one of those times where it's either when you live on the Gulf Coast. This is the beautiful thing, Patty. In case you didn't know this.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the beautiful things about living on the Gulf Coast is that you can just run out there for a couple of hours and run right back out. It's not a lot of traffic. So it was one day where I think it was the sun was going down. It was about that 3 o'clock time, and there's no crowds, even better, you know. And we went out as a family just for a few hours, and the kids wanted to go play and stuff, and I was doing some work, writing in a notebook, laying down, minding my own business here, trying to write some stuff down in a notebook, when this lady runs right past me and says, "Help, help." And I go, "Oh my goodness, what? What happened? You know, I'm like studying here." So I look up and she says, "They're drowning. They're drowning." And so I jump off of the beach. I was, you know, on the blanket I was on, and I go, "What? What, you know, what's going on?" And I look into the water and there's two adults, 18, 19 years old, you know, 20 year old people in the water drowning.
Oh my goodness.
And so I had these glasses on. I won't tell you that I had my wife's glasses on because I couldn't see. It was so blurry. I threw those glasses down because I was trying to read. I threw those glasses down just instinctively, and I jumped in the water to go get them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm racing out there, and I'm swimming the best and the fastest I can. Man, you should have seen this, okay? Halfway there, I'm realizing, oh, my goodness, they're far away. And I'm getting tired. So I get out there and I just realize, oh my goodness, I'm way over my head. I am exhausted. I don't know how I'm gonna get them. I don't know how I'm gonna get back.
How to get yourself back.
I don't know how I'm gonna get back. And they're panicking now. And one of the things, if you can try to save someone who's drowning, you know, they tell you to let that person either, if they're all over the place, you know, you can't approach them because they're gonna knock you out and hurt you.
Take you down.
Yeah, let them, you know, either exhaust themselves or tell them to calm down and get on their back. So I kept telling them, stay calm, get on your back. Because they were just fledgling and
flaring all the place.
Oh, you see, the look of terror was just horrible.
I can imagine.
So I got out there. Some other, I think another lady, another guy started, they joined me. Mm-hmm. And so I said, get on your back. So they got on their back and we were to, you know, get them to float back. And miraculously, I made it back. I mean, I am huffing while I'm out there. I'm realizing, oh my goodness, I'm over my head. This is, you know, this is way out there. And you know, the deeper you get, the colder the water is. It's like ice. You know, oh my gosh, you know, you're deep. It's real dark. So they come on back, and they're the 19-year-old boy or 19, 20 years old, he's throwing up on the beach. I mean, the shore.
Probably swallow kinds of salt water.
All kinds of stuff, and they made it. And, you know, just thank God, of course, you know, I'm going to talk to him by the Lord while everyone's asking all these other stuff. I'm like, do you know Jesus? You know what I mean? You could have died, you know, right? You know how close this was for you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm witnessing to them, sharing God with them. That's the most important thing. Don't forget, when people, there's tragedy and things happening, you know, a lot of times people, obviously they looked okay and, you know, they threw up and I was able to make that type of a judgment. But, you know, don't make the secondary issues the main issue. You know, you want to be bold and let people know, let the main thing be the main thing. And this type of situation, they need to know God. Mm-hmm. But something that was interesting that I was able to think about later is I just thought, my goodness, you know, thank God I happened to be there.
Yeah, and no doubt.
I realized as I was just meditating on this whole scenario that there was people, a whole lot more people on the shore than there was in the water to rescue these folks.
And nobody moved.
It's like a couple of myself and two other people that came out there and they were all waving and help, hey, they kept pointing to the problem. They're there, they're over there, but they didn't jump in. And I thought, my goodness, isn't that what's happening today in the church? I mean, are we just standing on the shore and just telling other people, go save them. Mm-hmm. You go evangelize. You talk to those people and rescue them from, You know, I'm not an evangelist. I don't know what to say. Listen, we're all called to do the work of evangelists. We're all called to talk to everybody everywhere about Jesus Christ and that he loves them, that he'll forgive them for their sin, that he wants to spend eternity with them, and they don't have to go to hell. He's already paid the price. It's for all of us to do, not to point to a few and look at the danger, because those people were going down.
Yeah.
I mean, they were drowning. And every single day, there are folks all around us that are drowning.
Right.
They're losing perspective, and they're slipping, if you will, closer and closer to hell. And I want to encourage you today, don't be one that sits on the shore and points at the problem. Get in the game. Swim out there and help rescue those that are being led to slaughter, if you will. Go rescue those that are going down and throw them a life preserve. Share with them Jesus Christ, that he loves and that he saves, and that he died for their sins.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up, church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible, under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. We're just talking before the break about, my goodness, I didn't know I was going to jump inside the water and have to go help someone that were drowning, and the opportunity that we have each and every single day to help folks that are drowning and struggling, especially those that don't know Jesus Christ. Listen, that's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life if you're a believer. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever do is to help other people that don't know God to come to know him. I mean, talk about, so many times people say, I'm looking for a purpose. I'm looking for something to do. Oh, that is a great purpose. Think, have a vision for your life, heaven full, hell empty. And I want to bring as many people as possible to be with the Lord. It's the only thing we can take with us. You know, Pat, I was there in abiding, and I came across, first Samuel. Been reading a lot about the life of David and some of the things that happened in his life. Been absolutely amazing. But, you know, there is a difference between those who follow God and those that don't. I know that things seem blurred. Mm. I know that maybe potentially that may look different. But let me tell you, there is a clear distinction, a clear demarcation for those that follow God and those that don't. God has designed it that we are to live in this world totally dependent upon Him.
That's right.
I mean, the greatest sin, people have all these ideas of what the greatest sin may be, murder, stealing, adultery, you name it.
Right.
You know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin is trying to live a life independent of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest sin.
Right.
Because God's called us to live for Him, to live dependent, to receive Him in our heart. But the person that doesn't know God, he hasn't accepted God as his Savior. And he's living his life totally independent. That word independent means not influenced or not controlled, mm-hmm. right? In matters of opinion, conduct, and one's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So just, there's no governor over their life. Just independent, right. Do whatever I want to do. And the whole idea here is that Jesus has no influence in your life. His word doesn't take root. So my question often is like, wow, if God's not speaking to you, you're not in God's word, and what is the format for your living? What is your personal constitution? What is your guiding values? What are they that help you to make decisions? And my goodness, if they're not based upon God's word, what could they possibly be based upon, right?
Right.
So your worldview, how you see your life, if it has nothing to do with God, that's not a good thing. And the question is, how can one who has chosen to live a life independent, in this case, which is for, rebellion towards God, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can anything really go well for them or for you when you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, the world will deceive us to think that if we get a more education or if we get a better job or if we get the right friends, then, if we got the right toys and stuff and things, that those things are going to make us happy. And obviously those things are going to make us well. If we marry, this perfect person, everything's going to go well. Mm-hmm. But listen, you can't be deceived. I mean, there's somebody right now saying, I check, I got all those, and I'm still not happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
It's still not working for me because I'm calling all the shots. And the question is, who's the shot caller in your life? The shot caller is the guy that calls all the shots.
Right, right.
So the question is, who is the shot caller? God's original intent is that He's the boss, Not a boss that lords over us. But He's the one that leads us. He's the one that directs us. It's Savior and Lord. And we throw words out these days, but we really don't even know what those words mean. Lord, boss, governor, ruler, king.
Right.
He's the Lord. And when we receive God, we say, listen, it's not my way. It's now your way. And He's the one that calls everything that needs to happen. We say that I'm no longer in charge of my life, and I submit myself to whatever God wants to say. Mm. He's in charge. And we can see this difference in the life of David and King Saul. We can see that, one was trying to follow God and one was trying to follow themselves. Saul thought it was optional to follow God in His ways.
Mm.
I mean, started out well. And, we can learn some things about Saul's life that just because things start well, you had the right intentions. You started out good, started abiding, I said, it's God, God. You said all the right things. But after some time, you started going your way.
Right.
It's like the GPS system.
Mm.
Oftentimes people are headed back from a certain place. They say, I don't know how to get home. They put the GPS on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the GPS is taking you a certain place, you follow it step by step, but the closer you think you're home and you got more familiar, you turn that thing off, and before you know it, you start making wrong turns. Well, listen, you need to follow God's positioning system all the way.
Right.
You don't need to turn off God's positioning system when you think that you're familiar, when you've got it down.
Right,
when
got
you
got it all figured out.
Got it all. I got it all. Thank you, God. I just needed you to get me on the right road, and now I'm, you know, now
I got it now. I got this.
Yeah. I got this. Thank you. And you turn off the GPS, God's positioning system, which means you're turning off the voice of God, your ability to hear. You're tuning him out. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk more. When we come back, actually in the extra hour, we're going to talk more about King David and Saul. And we're going to ask the question, who's the shot caller? Who's the shot caller in your life?
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we tried to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi,
Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.